The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. It's time to put your money where your values lie. Break free from your big bank. Visit DuPageCU.com/join today. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured.
Black and Abdallah.
Follow them on Instagram at Adam A. Abdallah and at C. Black. Welcome back to Chicago's College Tailgate.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Let's get a CCT Top 25 scoreboard.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Here's Tyler Aki.
Got a little bit of an upset brewing in the Big Ten right now. You've got Oregon with a 7-0 lead on Ohio State. That game going on out in Columbus. Auburn, number 25 team in the country, with a 13-0 lead on Alabama State. Those are the only two active games right now in the top 25. Florida and South Florida set to kick off from Tampa in just a little bit as well.
Thank you, Tyler. And that's the top 25 scoreboard here on CCT. Chris Black, Adam Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. And this game has been a defensive battle throughout the first quarter with Oregon and Ohio State, Adam. And we're sitting here watching this game. Oregon gets the touchdown deep in their own zone, end zone, in their territory now, backed up against the goal line. They just got a first down, get away from it. Oregon has been able to move the ball, even though they only have seven. Where defensively, without their two best defensive players to take on the Buckeyes today, their defense looks pretty strong early on here against the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this is kind of the same thing we saw from Ohio State last week where, you know, Ryan Day just kind of runs out there and runs some pretty vanilla stuff to start just to see what Oregon's going to throw at them defensively. And then eventually Ohio State kicks it in. The difference is Oregon's a little different than Minnesota. Oregon's a much stronger team up front than they are than Minnesota, a much better team defensively than Minnesota. But without their two best defensive players, I would have thought Ohio State would take advantage of that right now. They only have 54 yards on the ground. They only have 43 yards through the air. C.J. Stroud is 7 of 12 for 43 yards. Obviously, no touchdowns or interceptions. But Oregon's been able to control this ball on the ground right now. They've got 80 yards rushing, 65 yards passing. So a pretty even attack. They're, you know, they're averaging 7.9 yards per carry right now. So it's pretty good.
Tyler mentioned Auburn's up 13-0. Auburn's a team in the SEC not really expected to do a whole lot. They obviously had the coaching change over the last year, and Gus Malzahn has moved on, and that was a conversation piece that we've talked about for quite some time here in Chicago's College Tailgate. Florida is going to kick momentarily on ABC. They're the 13th-ranked team in the country taking on South Florida. And we've seen Florida at this point. They're also a team. We were talking about the playoff predictor about 5 minutes ago. Florida's a team that has not gotten the national championship recognition for this season, but they're like a sleeper SEC team in the weeds, right? Because they're going to have the tough schedule. And if they can kind of figure it out, which I don't think we really expect them to, but they're ranked 13th in the country. And usually, if you're ranked in the low teens to start the year, if you can kind of navigate your schedule, you'll find a way into the conversation of the college football playoff, much like Texas A&M, who's ranked 5th at the moment. But we both know that the SEC is just a meat grinder of a conference, and these teams are all going to have tests, and they will be tested throughout the season just based on the conference alone, which is why the SEC is a conference we talk about so much and why it's so fun to watch SEC football.
Well, the problem with Florida, Chris, is they have a pretty easy schedule, except they have to play Alabama and Georgia.
Yep.
Like,
see, that's what it means. It's a meat grinder. Like, you could say, yeah, they could sneak through. They could find their way to, like, 8th, 7th, and then you're going to face off against Alabama and Georgia, and you probably lose those games. And at that point, you fall back to, like, are you a top 25 team, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they get Alabama next week, so that'll be a big test for them. And then Tennessee's easy, Kentucky's easy, Vanderbilt's easy, LSU's easy, and then Georgia. So, you know, after that, after October 30th, you kind of know what Florida is going to be. If they're going to be a two-loss team, then no, they're probably not. They're not going to get consideration for the college football playoff. They're not going to be in the SEC championship game, so they're not going to get consideration at all. And that's just what kind of happens when you're in the SEC. Some team, a couple teams, are going to see both Alabama and Georgia, and that's kind of ruins your season when both those teams are the top two teams in the country right now. So, but if Florida can find a way to upset Alabama, and then, you know, they can move up into the top 10, they'll probably be in the top, they'll definitely be in the top 10 after that. But if they can find a way then to beat Georgia or hang with Georgia, then you never know. Anything can happen.
The Big Ten here in Chicago, it's a melting pot city. You go to any bar around the downtown area, you have different alliances, different alumni groups that hold their watch parties at all the different bars here in downtown Chicago. So, like, it really is a college football town. It's just not covered by one team. So I'm going to give you some of the scores around the Big Ten at the moment. Illinois is down 14 to Virginia mid-third quarter, 7:56 left in the third quarter. Illinois had a good win to start off the season against Nebraska. And then, let's see, Brett Bielema's crew is going to kind of fall back to earth, right? And Virginia, they're looking to be middle of the pack in the ACC. They're up 14 right now on Illinois. Michigan State's up big on Youngstown State. 10 minutes left in the second quarter, and Michigan State's up 28-0. Minnesota is beating Miami of Ohio right now, 14-3, with 10 minutes left to go in the second quarter. And Northwestern, Chicago's Big Ten team, they're up 14-0 on Indiana State out on the long grass in Evanston. 2 minutes left in the second quarter in that one. And that's the action right now around the Big Ten. And we have the big game coming up later on today, 3:30 on ABC, Iowa at Iowa State. We'll get into that. Wisconsin has Eastern Michigan. That should be a win for Wisconsin after a tough loss last week. Indiana faces off against Idaho later on tonight. They need a bounce back game, which they should after losing to Iowa last week. And how about this game? This is an interesting matchup. Washington had probably the most pathetic loss of any major college football program last week in week one. They lost to Montana. Like, let that sink in. And they scored, what, 7 points against Montana? Yeah. They face off against Michigan in the Big House, Ann Arbor, Michigan, at 7 o'clock. The game is on ESPN. Washington was supposed to be pretty good. They had a pathetic loss last week. Michigan is a 6.5-point favorite at home. They looked pretty good against weaker competition last week. This is an intriguing matchup to see whether or not the Huskies bounce back and whether or not Michigan is for real in the Big Ten.
See, there's two things we talk about, Chris, when we're talking about college football in general. It's like which teams are good for college football when they're good. And Michigan is definitely one of those teams. When Michigan is good and the Ohio State-Michigan game matters and, you know, Notre Dame-Michigan being played and, like, when these games – like, I went to the – to the top 25 scoreboard and was looking for a preview of this game. Neither of these teams are ranked. Like, that's a problem for college football that neither Washington or Michigan is ranked for this game. This is a primetime game. You know, Michigan beats up on Western Michigan last week, 47-14. So you would think that, you know, they would at least be top 25. But right now, both these teams are not ranked. They're not playing well. Michigan had the easy win last week, but you know, it was just ho-hum. Like, how are they going to compete with Washington, who's obviously coming in with a chip on their shoulder after losing to Montana last week? So they're going to have to prove something. But it's just a shame that this is a game that's on ABC tonight that would normally be like, oh, man, we've got Oregon, Ohio State. We've got Iowa, Iowa State. And tonight we've got Washington, Michigan. Because remember a couple years ago, it was Washington, Auburn, and like that was a marquee
that was a hell game. Of a
it was
game.
Like, oh, man, SEC, Pac-12, everything on the line, first game of the season. This kind of is supposed to have that vibe, or at least should have that vibe. You should be going into this game tonight. Washington should be ranked. Michigan should be ranked. But both these both these programs right now are down, and both these coaches, I mean – how much longer is we talk about it every week. How much longer is Harbaugh going to be at Michigan? Is Washington going to be looking for a coaching change after this? I mean, you can't lose to Montana. And then they're probably going to lose to Michigan tonight. And after that, like, Washington searching for answers, Will Michigan be ranked after today? If Washington starts 0-2, that's a big problem for them.
We have an update. Ohio State has scored. C.J. Stroud with a touchdown to Garrett Wilson. For the Buckeyes, it's 7-7 with 8:42 left in the second quarter. Oregon and Ohio State from Columbus, the big nooner on Fox. So Ohio State bounces back with the touchdown. Game is scored. We'll keep you updated throughout the show here on Chicago's College Tailgate with what's happening in Columbus, the biggest game at the moment going on in college football. I want to talk to you about Iowa and Iowa State. I think that's going to be a fantastic matchup. We'll hear from both coaches coming up next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Black and Abdallah, presented by Nissan.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000, Chicago College Tailgate Show
with Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, and now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Chicago's home for sports.
ABC. It's a big game. Iowa travels to Ames, Iowa. The face-off against Iowa State, the Cy Hawk Trophy, will be awarded. There's a bunch of corn. Abdallah, they're going to have a party with corn. They will hand out corn on the cob to every individual entering the stadium. They will
so
have a
much
good
corn this year, man.
They will have a good chew on some corn today. Iowa and Iowa State.
You and I do the time capsule podcast. Yeah, we recap the entire year.
Just put a cornfield
in. There's definitely going to be some corn in there. There's so much between the Field of Dreams game and the corn game today. Like the
big year for corn, man.
Corn
big overload. Year for corn.
You know how much corn I saw on the way here today or the way to Indiana? There's so much corn, man. There's just so much corn.
Yeah, I mean it's a big year for corn.
Year for corn.
That's something to consider. This game in the rivalry of Iowa and Iowa State, they played 67 times. And this is the first time that both teams will be top 10 teams heading into this matchup. So it is a huge deal. Chicago College Game Day for ESPN was there on location at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames, Iowa. Iowa's the 10th ranked team in the country. They're on the road against Iowa State, number 9. Humongous rivalry. Let's hear from the coaches for this matchup. Here's Matt Campbell from Iowa State on the rivalry with Iowa.
As in any rivalry football game, I think one of the things is it means something, and I think there's always a higher level of energy. And to be honest with you, it's any rivalry game, and especially a game like this where the energy's high, it's who in the moment can fundamentally do their responsibility in detail. And, you know, I think you even look at us in this game at times, we have, you know, played well, and yet in the moments, some of the critical moments, we haven't been able to execute, and they have, and that's been the difference in the game. But, you know, I think it's certainly an incredible rivalry. It's a rivalry that you want to be a part of. It's why you come to college to play in games like this.
That's Matt Campbell, the coach for Iowa State. A little surprising that he has just stayed at Iowa State. He's been a hot name on the coaching carousel for a few years. He seems as if he wants to win and win big at Iowa State. He's been their most successful head coach, but he has not had the success against Iowa that he's had elsewhere. There's another team, like if you're really digging into Iowa State's season and whether or not they can get to the college football playoff, the other team would be Oklahoma. They've had almost virtually no success against Oklahoma ever. It's like one of the biggest lopsided back and forths between two schools who have played each other so much. Like Oklahoma almost always beats Iowa State. And then recently Campbell against Iowa hasn't had the success, but they have been a very good program for a couple of years. And he's a hot name that each and every year when someone gets fired from a big SEC school, he's the name that gets announced as the name that's the hot candidate. And he's stayed at Iowa State.
No, absolutely. And like you can look at it two ways, right, Chris? You can say, oh, he's a young, hot name. He brought the Iowa State program to somewhat, you know, they're relevant.
It's relevance. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's
relevant. They're relevant.
Yeah.
They're relevant. But what has he done? Like, he hasn't accomplished.
Right. They haven't made
Iowa.
A college football playoff.
He hasn't beat,
yeah.
He hasn't beaten Oklahoma. He hasn't made a college football playoff. Like, he's a great coach. He's going to get a bigger job at some point. But if he doesn't want to leave until he accomplishes something, then, you know, I applaud that from him, because he wants to make Iowa State not only relevant, but an actual name in college football. I mean, they're going to get in once the playoff expands. Like, this will be a team that gets in, whether they win the Big 12 or not, should he stay,
yeah,
that's going to get in the playoffs. So maybe he sees that as his opening, that, hey, like, if we get in, we can compete with these guys. The problem is, I can't beat Iowa, I can't beat Oklahoma. But if you can't beat those guys, are you really competing, or did you just take a team that was not relevant and now make them relevant again?
Well, you also have to strike when the iron's hot, right? Because I feel like we were talking about the way we're talking about Matt Campbell, we were talking about David Shaw like 5 years ago, right? As he's the name that everyone wants to get, and that guy will run a great program and he'll win at a high level. And then it's like that time has passed. Like, David Shaw in Stanford is not in a good spot. Like, his job security maybe, but the program is not in a good spot. They're no longer competing in the Pac-12. They're no longer getting the same type of recruits that they were. It's not the same thing. And you hope that Matt Campbell can either break Iowa State through and then become one of these, you know, powers and be the leader of the Big 12 when it all reshapes and Oklahoma and Texas leave the conference. Or he's going to have to go elsewhere to try and win at an even higher level. But, I mean, think about it. The usual suspects all hired new head coaches in the last year. Texas, a team that's always rumored with coaches on the hot seat. They get a new head coach in Sark. Tennessee has a new head coach. That's a team that was always complaining about looking at head coaches, right? Auburn, they have a new head coach. So, like, all of the places, all the hot spots, right, throughout college football – at the moment seem to be either with new head coaches or people who have been there for quite some time and had a lot of success, except for
Go Tigers.
Our guy, Coach Ogeron, who we talked about last week here on the show, perhaps being on the hot seat at LSU, and they traveled to the West Coast last week and they get beat up by UCLA.
Go Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, will LSU fire Ed Orgeron after this year and try to look for a Matt Campbell? I don't think so. I think Orgeron's going to have at least another year to try to get this right. But, you know, when you talk about Matt Campbell and you talk about these jobs, like, I look at P.J. Fleck, right? Mm-hmm. Like, P.J. Fleck went to Minnesota, made them relevant again. Is that the ceiling? Is relevancy the ceiling?
Hold on. Did you just say Minnesota's relevant? I don't think
Minnesota's relevant.
They're relevant.
Hold on.
Just because you can try and cover for three quarters against Ohio State, you're relevant now? I think you need to apologize about that
team.
One.
They've got a nice little catchphrase with them.
Yeah, Sky Uma.
Yeah.
Row the boat. Gotcha.
But they're relevant.
Minnesota football.
Dude,
we were not relevant.
Or is their mantra
what
relevant?
What are you talking about? They are not relevant.
We were hyping up that matchup for weeks. Don't get it twisted.
What matchup?
Great matchup. Great Ohio State.
What's a game on the schedule?
Watch out for Minnesota.
Minnesota will be lucky to finish third in the Big Ten West. If they finish third, that'll be good. Is that relevant? I don't know. Maybe for them.
I think they're relevant.
I mean, they're not better than Wisconsin or Iowa in the Big Ten West. So that's relevant, being like the sixth or seventh best team in the Big Ten?
I don't think they're the sixth or seventh best team in the Big Ten. They're better than
do this now?
Most of the teams.
You want to do this now? All right. You got Ohio State, you got Wisconsin, you got Penn State, you got Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting them ahead of Indiana and Michigan?
Right now, I would.
Wow.
I'm putting them ahead of Michigan for sure.
I think Michigan fans will have a word with you after the show.
Well, the two of them can call me.
There's a lot more Michigan fans in the city of Chicago than there are Minnesota fans. All right, back on your point. I'm going to disagree 100%.
That's fine.
I don't think Minnesota is relevant, but back to your point, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt with your thoughts.
No, my point is that the ceiling? Like, we hype up these young, hot coaches, and then they go to another place, and, like, how often does it work out? Are they just good at recruiting dudes and getting dudes up for a game, or are they actually and coming up with a scheme to beat the smaller teams on their schedule? But when it comes to facing the bigger teams on the schedule, they can't do anything. Like, Matt Campbell's a great coach, but he hasn't beaten Oklahoma. He hasn't beaten Iowa. Like, what are you doing?
Go Tigers.
Oh, wait, what's that?
I just love the Bro Connor breaking news.
Oh, wait,
that,
what's that?
That Minnesota is relevant. I love
that. Relevant.
That's great.
They're relevant.
Let's hear from Kurt Ferentz as we're talking Iowa State and Iowa, the big game on ABC at 3:30 later on today. Two top 10 teams facing off. Kurt Ferentz scouts what Iowa State has to offer. Here he is.
You know, when it comes to Iowa State, they're not only a talented team, but very experienced. Yeah, and, you know, on top of that, really well coached. Certainly since Coach Campbell and his staff have gotten into to Ames, you know, they've just done a wonderful job building a great program. And I think we've all witnessed that last year and over the years, but certainly last year. And they're off to a good start right now. So, as I said, they've got really experienced players. You know, they got all the right players at the critical positions. A lot of guys with very deserved honors, so it's going to be a big, big challenge for us. Offensively, you can start wherever you want to start. They've got a running back that had close to 1,600 yards last year. He's an outstanding football player, a couple of very talented and outstanding tight ends. Veteran offensive line, good group of receivers, and then quarterback's done a great job for quite a while, and he certainly is, you know, their leader on that offensive team, and they've got a great scheme. So it's a tough preparation for us that way. Defensively, again, it's a very unique preparation. They've played good defense basically once they got settled and got established. They've been playing good defense for quite a while in a conference that maybe that's not as common in. So to me, I think that's really helped separate them. Their guys play extremely hard. It's a unique preparation, as I mentioned. And they've got a lot of veterans there, and that outside linebacker is a tremendous player. The safety is an outstanding player, but they got a lot of other guys that do a great job as well. So, again, just a challenge there. And then special teams, you know, really well coached, play hard, very, very productive. So really, it's just, you know, it's a great, big challenge for us right now.
All right, that's Kurt Ferentz, Iowa head coach.
Not so fast.
Abdallah, did you pick up on that from Kurt Ferentz? Most of that, he just said the linebacker's good, the safety's good, they do a lot of nice things. Like, was that not the most generic scouting report you've ever heard from a coach?
Not so fast.
Yeah, he's not going to give you anything.
Like,
he's
gonna be like, oh, give man, you anything? Does he even know really, names? Does he have names? Really, numbers? He just gave a linebacker. They got not a good linebacker.
That's elite ball coaching,
yeah,
right there.
That is just, he's just giving you some garbage. He's just talking words, man. They're good defensively. They're good special teams there. They got that linebacker kid. They got a safety. Yeah, they got two of them. They got two safeties that play.
Safeties,
the only thing he was missing was not pointing guys out by number.
Yeah,
when you
right
point out guys by number, that's a ball coach right there.
See, Ferentz didn't even know the number. He's got positions. Iowa State has some positions. I mean, I'm listening to this during the week. I'm like, hold on, Kurt Ferentz, do you even know anything about? He is right. Iowa State is the only team that basically plays any defense whatsoever in the Big 12. But outside of that, that was a generic minute 40 that we just heard from the Iowa head coach.
Just save that and run it again during Penn State week and run it again during Wisconsin week. And just, like, it won't change. It'll just be like, yeah, they got some good linebackers. They got some good defensive ends. They got a safety that's really good. You know, we're just hoping we'll just got to go out there and do our job. And
they got defense.
You know, hope to take advantage of
they
it.
They got
yeah
players on the defensive side. There's some guys that wear helmets. There's some helmeted players out there, a linebacker on the second line of the defense. They got a third line there, the safety. They got some guys on the defensive line, hand in the dirt. They got that working for them. You know, I heard this the other night. I was going to do it on – I was going to play this on Thursday. I was like, no. I need you to respond to this. I could not waste this on a solo effort for a Bleck and Abdallah show on a Thursday night. So I had to keep this to CCT on a Saturday to get your response, Abdallah.
Well, I mean, these coaches don't talk down to other teams. It's not going to be like, well, that guy sucks, so we're going to go after him all day. Like, that's it. That corner can't cover anybody, so we're just going to target him all day. You watch, guys. We are going to have a field day on the left side of the field because that dude can't cover anybody.
Well,
like, he's going to say nice things, you know?
Yeah, sure. Perhaps, except for one coach who talks down about his own team, and you'll hear that next.
Chicago's College Tailgate Show, presented by Nissan, with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Immerse yourself in the world of college football.
Now, back to more.
ESPN 1000 Chicago College Tailgate Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Every 30 minutes here on Chicago's College Tailgate, we get a Chicago's College Tailgate scoreboard update.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Here's Tyler Aki.
All right, Oregon back on top now over Ohio State. CJ Verdell with another touchdown. They've got a 14-7 lead. Woo. Auburn taking care of Alabama State 20-0 right now. Florida with an early touchdown over South Florida. But the Bulls just put a field goal on the board, so it is now 7-3, Florida with the edge over South Florida. And then a little lap around the Big Ten here. Virginia in the fourth quarter, they've got the 35-14 lead over Illinois. Michigan State taking care of Youngstown State, 35-7. Minnesota, the 21-3 lead on Miami, Ohio. And Northwestern with a 14-0 lead on Indiana State.
That's Tyler Aki. He brings us our scoreboard updates here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. And by the way, Oregon, as Tyler mentioned, they're up 14-7 with a minute left in the second quarter of this one. And Abdallah, Oregon is driving. They are getting called for a holding penalty at the moment, but they are driving deep in Ohio State's end, looking to go up two scores before halftime in the shoe.
That'd be huge because the way this defense has been playing, even without two of their best players, that's a lot. Two touchdowns is a lot for Ohio State to come back from. But as we saw, you know, in the opening week of the season, they can score at will when they start to click. So if this is something that, you know, Ryan Day needs to go in and make some halftime adjustments, if he can do that, then this is still a game. If you can stop and limit this Oregon drive to a field goal, that's probably a win right now as you go into halftime.
In Oregon, they have all their timeouts right now, or they have at least two. I can't tell from the screen at the moment. So they do have time to get some work done against the Buckeyes before the half. That game in Columbus. Looking at the rest of the college football slate, last weekend the marquee matchup early was Alabama against Miami, and that game ended early. I mean, it was 10-0 after one. Going into halftime, it was 27-3. Miami looked pathetic, and Alabama rocked. Bryce Young was fantastic, four touchdowns. You know, and really, Alabama looked like the true power that they've been for quite some time. Now, when it comes to this weekend, though, have a cupcake, Abdallah, because you face off against Mercer for the home opener for the Crimson Tide. They're not the only team ranked high that has a cupcake this weekend. Alabama-Mercer, that's a 3 o'clock game on the SEC Network. Oklahoma faces off against Western Carolina. You know, the fighting Western Carolina folks, whatever their mascot is, I have no idea. Do you
Carolinians.
Know?
They're Carolinians.
Do you know? Do you have any idea what the Western Carolina mascot is taking on Oklahoma?
Odds are it's a Wildcat, just because that's just the odds-on favorite.
Just because of what we have presented in front of us. Let's see if we can figure
but
this out.
I have no idea. No idea.
I'm trying. I can't even find Oklahoma.
Here
we go. Let's see. It's a Western Carolina Catamounts. The Catamounts.
Okay.
That's kind of cool.
Now I have to look.
Look at the helmet. It's a helmet with a WCU and a Catamount logo right below it. It works.
What is a Catamount?
I believe it's a big cat, like a mountain cat.
Okay, cool. All right, so I was close.
Right, like, do you know another Catamount in collegiate athletics? I know of one other school, at least.
No, what do you got?
Vermont. Mm. Vermont is a cat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Vermont catamount.
Okay.
It's a cougar. Right. It's a cougar type of cat. So, I mean, it's a variation of a big cat. Catamount.
Yeah, I'll take credit for I'll take that as a win because I said wildcat. Like, at least I was in the same family.
You were. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let me give you another one. Because it's not only Alabama, who's the number one team in the country, playing a cupcake, and Oklahoma, the number two team in the country, who's playing a cupcake, but then you also get Clemson, the number six team in the country, looking for a bounce-back victory against South Carolina State at 4 o'clock on the ACC Network. South Carolina State. Do you have any idea what the logo is for South Carolina State? Now, if you're not going to go Wildcat, perhaps you could give me a different obvious logo and hit it right on the head on this one. South Carolina State.
Well, it's probably not a bird because they probably want to distance themselves from South Carolina. So they probably don't want to be a Gamecock or any form of bird.
They want to stay away from the Gamecock, yes.
Yeah, the other stereotypical name from Wildcat is then a dog, so like a bulldog or something.
Not so fast.
Nailed it. Bulldogs.
Damn.
South Carolina State Bulldogs. How about that?
Damn.
So Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama, all feasting on some cupcakes. Really pathetic, really, when you think about these teams playing such trash schools in the second week of the college football slate. I mean, why not be like a real school like Syracuse, play someone real, or be like a real school like USC, play a rivalry team in week two? But nope, Alabama.
Wait, hold on.
Alabama
hold
needs on. To have the hold easy schedule on. Set up for them hold. To face off against hold Mercer. On. You know what they say,
not
Alabama,
so fast, my friends,
taking on the not, Mercer Bears.
Not so
just,
fast, my
just
did you
pathetic.
Say be like? Did you just, say be like Syracuse?
I don't even know.
Is playing Rutgers.
I mean, that's a Big Ten team.
Abdallah's Big Ten team.
That's New York's Big Ten team.
Listen, man.
No, but not everyone can be Alabama and facing off against Mercer. So, sir,
how do you think these small schools get funding? They have to go to Alabama and get their $1 million
and their loss.
Yeah, I mean, well, they're going to get $1 million though.
Cupcake day for Alabama.
Listen. Don't count out the Mercer Bears. They run a very fast up-tempo system.
Sure.
Their coach was talking about they've got two players on offense that they call their jokers, which is they use in not a wild cat, but a wild card. So it's a running back and a receiver that they kind of move around all over the field. They're going to look to give Alabama problems around the linebacker position while Alabama is going to be without two of their linebackers today. So don't count out the Mercer Bears. Respect all these teams, okay? Yeah. They're trying to play just as much as Alabama's trying to play.
Well, Alabama blows out Miami. Then they have Mercer on the schedule. Nick Saban can't go after Mercer because that would just be mean. Nick Saban can't go after Miami because they're pathetic and that would just be mean as well. So what did Nick Saban do this week? Well, he went after his own team. Take a listen to this.
Several years ago, it was the sixth or seventh game of the year. We just beat Texas A&M. And people started talking about our team, and I had to bring everyone's attention to what I referred to as rat poison. All right, so now we basically played one half of one game. All right, we went ahead 27-0 in the game, and then it was basically 17-16 after that with two stops inside the 5-yard line. And you know, so we didn't maintain our intensity in the game, so we were affected by the scoreboard, so we haven't proven that we can play for 60 minutes. Then we come out on Monday and really not ready to practice, I guess because of respect we have for the opponent. I don't really know all that, or maybe it's what they read on social media or in the media or whatever after one half of a game this season. And, you know, then it was hot yesterday, so... You know, so we got every external factor in the world that is affecting our ability to maintain intensity and play the way we need to play and practice the way we need to practice to improve. We got the scoreboard affects us, who we're playing affects us, the heat affects us, the media and what you guys write every day affects us. So, you know, to me, we got to prove that we can play and maintain intensity for 60 minutes in a game, execute, do our job, play hard, finish games, finish plays, do things the way we're supposed to do it.
Nick Saban, midweek after practice, going after his team for the intensity that they brought to the table, preparing for Mercer today, the cupcake, going after the media and what the media writes about the Crimson Tide. That was fantastic from Nick Saban.
Love it. It's like clockwork. On Sunday, Rat Poison was trending on Twitter. And look, this is what he does. Everybody, you know, craps on Saban. Oh, he's going after his players. Oh, another Saban meltdown. It's FCS week, man. It's FBS week. It's this dude's not like this is what happens. The players start to have a relaxed practice. He goes after them in the media. They'll go up. They'll put up a bunch of points against Mercer. They have to face Florida next week. And then Saban will win another national championship. People hate and people, you know, go after him for doing things the way he does, but no one has been able to replicate it for as long as he's been there. So, I mean, that's how coaches go after players now is you yell at them through, whether he does it through the media, through Rat Poison, or he does it on the field at practice. Like, that's just what he does.
And shout out to Nick Saban, a friend of the program, friend of Bluck and Abdallah. Abdallah tried to roll Tide, Coach, and this is how it sounded. Coach, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
All right, thank you, guys. Have a good day, man.
You too.
Have a great day, Coach.
Roll Tide.
And then he hung up the phone.
Abdallah went for the
Roll Tide, and then that's what we got.
You tell your dad you love him, phone. And then... Sometimes he says it back, and it's a rare occasion. And sometimes
he just
doesn't.
Looks at you. You know how he stares off into the distance. Yeah.
You know how he says "Roll Tide" back, Chris. He covers against Miami. Yeah. That's how he says "Roll Tide" back.
Coach, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
All right, thank you, guys. Have a good day, man.
You too.
Have a great day, Coach.
Roll Tide.
Yep.
44-13 against Miami. That's all the Roll Tide you need.
Hung up the phone.
Because you know what? If he said Roll Tide back, you know what that is, Chris? It's Rat Poison for me.
You don't focus on the
it's
next
rat
show.
Poison.
You don't focus at the on the next. Yeah,
I wouldn't because you know what it is. I'd be too enamored that Dad told me Roll Tide back, and then I wouldn't be. That would have been it.
Yeah, right.
I would just be too focused on that and not on the future, not at the task at hand.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought was going through your mind, Coach. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
All right, thank you, guys. Have a good day, man.
You too.
Have a great day, Coach.
Roll Tide.
More college football talk is right around the corner. Chicago's College Tailgate Show, presented by Nissan.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate with Bleck and Abdallah. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
It's college football's highest honor.
From now on, your name will be followed by the words Heisman Trophy winner.
I'll be the Heisman.
Here's Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah.
All right, Heisman Watch. It's the way we end our show each week on Chicago's College Tailgate from 11 to 1 p.m. each week right here on ESPN 1000. Thank you to Tyler Aki, who produced the show. You also heard him on the scoreboard updates right here on ESPN 1000. Quickly, before we get to the Heisman Watch, Abdallah, come out and join me today in Naperville from 2 to 4 in about an hour. I will be there. I'm leaving right here from the studios, downtown Chicago, going straight to Empire. In Naperville, we have a bar crawl with chances to win a trip to Las Vegas with Waddle and Sylvie to see Chicago against Las Vegas on October the 10th. Brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino and also White Claw Hard Seltzer. We are starting at Empire. We are going to the Lantern and then Jimmy's Grill. Three chances to qualify from 2 to 4 today in Naperville with me, Chris Bleck. I'll be there in an hour. I'm leaving in 5 minutes.
I can't think of a better way to spend a college football Saturday to win tickets to Vegas, watching college football with
White
Chris
Claw.
Bleck in Naperville. It's going to be
claws.
Great.
We're going to get some claws out. We're going to drink them. All right. Let's see. And also a shout out to SGC SportsInfo.com and Coors Light for sponsoring today's program and our presenting sponsor, Nissan, for Chicago's College Tailgate. After week one of the college football season, Abdallah, I think right now everyone would agree after one game. I know it's early. After one game, Bryce Young, the quarterback from Alabama, in his 27-for-38 with 344 yards and four touchdown performance against the Hurricanes, would be the front runner at the moment for the Heisman. And I would say number two would be Spencer Rattler, the quarterback from Oklahoma, who had an okay day. He had a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown, but he also had two interceptions for Oklahoma in their win, the close game in week one. Those are the first two names I would throw out for the Heisman watch at this moment.
Well, you look at it, Chris, is who's going to have the best opportunity to showcase their talents against the best teams? And it's probably those two, right? Bryce Young is going to have Florida next week. He's going to have Texas A&M later. He's going to have Georgia in the SEC championship game, most likely. And then you get to Oklahoma, and they've got a bunch of big games coming up as well. You know, Clemson and DJU's probably out because they don't face any other. Like, he could put up seven touchdowns a game and he's going to have the stats, but against the best defense that he's faced, they couldn't score. So to me, he's out. You've got, you know, CJ Stroud is 12-1 right now, and then Matt Corral is also 8-1 right now. So you've got those two that are still in the mix, but right now I would say that Bryce Young has the best chance to win just based on the biggest games that he's going to play and the chance to prove himself as a Heisman winner.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud, quarterback for Ohio State, obviously in the conversation. He had four touchdowns in week one, but right now the Buckeyes are losing to Oregon at halftime, 14-7. So C.J. Stroud needs to do something big here in the second half to stay on this list for next week. You mentioned DJ Uiagalelei. He had a tough game against Georgia, but Georgia has one of the best defenses in the country. So, I mean, I think there's still time for DJU, as you call him, to kind of get back into the conversation if Clemson can kind of get that offense rolling and in the right direction. I mean,
if you want it right now, bet it right now because it's 15-1. I don't think you're going to get better odds than 15-1.
No, and that's a good point. It's why we kind of keep you updated with this each week throughout the season. Final thought, USC plays Stanford tonight, beat the farm for USC. It's a rivalry game. Stanford throughout the week has been juggling quarterbacks, and they finally named one starter. They went into last week with two different guys playing the position, so I think SC rolls. And is Texas back?
Texas is back, folks!
15 seconds left in the show.
We're going to find out if Texas is back. I agree with you. I like USC tonight. And don't discount the Mercer Bears. Don't discount the Bears.
Okay. All right. Get out of here. Enjoy the wedding tonight in Indy, okay? Enjoy the wedding. I'm going to go drink some Claws in Naperville. See you there in an hour.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Black and Abdallah, presented by Nissan.